I'm grateful for the honor of being able to be here and help lead worship this morning and to bring what I believe is God's word revealed to me for you this morning. And the children have done such a wonderful job of showing us, acting out God's word for us. Let's give them one more round of applause. Because there's not enough within us to adequately express our gratitude to them for showing us in the midst of their childhood the truth of God's message for us today. And yes, that little girl in the picture was me. Actually, there's a giant one in my house that my mother always had hanging over the mantle. There's one of me and one of my sister. And they were part of our home. But through the years, as I've looked at those pictures and seen those pictures, I'm very grateful for the love which the faces of those children reveal about how God loved us in the midst of a wonderful, loving home where we knew we were valued and loved, and where our mother, and I will tell you, it was only our mother when I was a young child, took us to Sunday school and church every Sunday of our lives, establishing that habit within us, giving us the gift of knowing how valued we were. Now, some of you may think I'm leaving out my brother, because you know I had a brother, Charlie Brown, but you see, he was in high school when my sister and I were those two little girls. And he went, but not right where we were. But we were blessed with that loving family, where our parents loved us and where our mother literally, it like presented us to Jesus every Sunday. Regrettably, not every child has that gift. Not every child has parents who realize the significance of the love of Jesus. Not every child is loved and valued. There are some children, even today, who are devalued, just as the disciples devalued those children when they were brought to Jesus. And the disciples, some of them being influenced by the mores of their society at the time, thought children were just nothing. And they certainly were not worthy of getting the attention of the Holy One, of the Messiah. And they were sent away. Get out of here. You know, you don't belong here. There are many children today who receive that message. Not only about going to church, but about being a part of the greater society. There are children today who are pushed away, whose parents have not had. Oftentimes it's because the parents never were valued like that. And we often are guilty as the church of devaluing children of God. And when I say children of God, I don't mean just people who are under the age of, say, 15 or 16. For the truth is, we are all children of God. And as children of God, we are called to show His love to everyone. To everyone. as I talked with Peter about this Sunday, and I'm very grateful to Pastor Peter for inviting me to be part of this church in this role today. For many of you know a good part of my journey into ministry, from that little girl in the picture to this person who stands before you today. And kids, I'll explain a little bit about why I'm wearing what I'm wearing, because you don't see me dressed like this, do you? No, it's more like sweats or something on K4J afternoon. You know, Pastor Peter wears his robe like this when he's preaching. The purpose of a robe, the pastoral robe, is to take away our own personal identity. As it was explained to me in seminary, it's kind of like draping the furniture to cover up anything. And as a woman pastor, I can tell you people would pay far too much attention to what I was wearing and whether the colors went together and all of that if I didn't wear my robe. And you probably also noticed that I have on a shirt with a funny collar. Did you notice that? I wear that to remind me that God's my master. And that it's like a collar. Does your dog have a collar? And if there's a leash on it, do you jerk it? Okay. That's the purpose of my collar. I learned those things when I was in seminary, for it was quite a long journey from that little girl to where I am today. Some people in this church have been a great part of that journey, for it was from this church that I went into ministry. You are the ones who sharpened my call to ministry and sent me forth to be ordained in this annual conference. So how'd that little girl get from there to where I am today? I was valued as a child and knew I was, and I was very confident about many, many things, mostly music. I loved music. I did lots of things well. You know, I was one who loved my dolls, and I loved music, and I loved coloring and those things. But the one thing I was not confident about, or group of things, was anything that my older sister did. There was no way I was going to do anything Anne did, because I devalued myself and my ability to do those things. I was comparing myself to another person that was older than I, and I thought smarter and better at everything, so I just chose not to do anything she did. Well, fast forward many years. I was a teacher in Austin. Over here a lot, but I was still teaching in Austin. And my sister Ann was in Austin. And the church I attended there, Oak Hill United Methodist in Austin, was a wonderful, growing, spirit-filled church. I can't explain it except by looking at you all today. And the strangest thing to me was that there were many people in that church, quite a few, I think it was 7 or 8 while I was there, who changed their work schedules or quit work because they felt a calling to go to seminary and learn about God and to find out what God had for them in the next chapter of their life. And as I watched that, I thought, oh, you mean people my age could go to seminary? You mean women could be pastors? For you see, the Methodist Church started ordaining women when I was 9 years old, but nobody told us that. It was a well-kept secret for many years. So that began stirring in my mind about what to do with the next chapter of my life. And then one day, my sister called me. I remember it's imprinted on my mind because it was so vivid to me and such a watershed moment. She called me and said, "You won't believe what I am going to do. I'm going to seminary." Oh. I rejoiced with her, knowing how proud my mother would be, for this fulfilled a call that my mother had felt, and yet knew that there was not any way except being a missionary she could fulfill that. Because she'd said to me, "I think my teaching is an answer to that call." So hearing my sister say that, on the surface, I rejoiced. Inside, I said to myself, "Well, now you can't do that." Because remember, I wouldn't do anything my sister did. So, at that point in time, I felt the door was shut. I continued to be active in church in many different ways, but I felt God was calling me to something different. Not higher, not better, different. So, fast forward several years. During those years, I married Tommy, and we were here and very much loved this community. And then in 2002, when I was eligible to retire, although Aunt Claudia Canfield was in that kindergarten class that year, I was torn about what's next. Should I retire? I can retire. Should I retire? And I'm going to tell a story out of school right now, and I don't care if you repeat it. But the day I decided this is it, I have to retire, was the day that the administrators at school told me I could not sit down and eat lunch with my children and be considered being on duty. And I thought, that's it. This is not. I didn't sign up to be a policeman. So I retired, and my teaching partner retired at the same time. My sister, now on staff at that same seminary, kept trying to get me to come to learn more about it, to go on a discovery weekend and to learn about seminary. And I said, no, that's your thing. I'm not doing that. She wanted me to come on a particular weekend in November. I said no. That Friday evening, I had what appeared to be heart trouble. They put me in an ambulance, took me to Austin Heart, where they said, "There's nothing wrong with you. You have a 0% chance of this being a heart issue." Which time my sister said, "So are you going to stay?" And I said, "No, Jim and Kersita are going to take me home." I kept resisting because I devalued myself. And that is the worst devaluation of all, is when you think that you're not good enough or smart enough to do what God is calling you to do. I devalued myself and said no. Finally, in the spring of 2002, I went over for the Discovery Weekend. Still not sure, but after listening to the students, I thought, okay, this is about learning more about God and finding out what it is God wants me. It doesn't mean that I have to go be a pastor. So I'll fill out the applications. Applications and essays this thick, which many of you who know me know that paperwork is not my forte. I had them done in 2 days. And I had this envelope of all of them filled out, ready to go. Saturday morning, Brady radio's playing in the background. I'm home alone. You know, Tradio on the radio, and there's all those fillers in between, you know that stuff. So I'm standing there in the house alone, and I look at this envelope and slam it down on the desk and say, "This is ridiculous. I am 56 years old. How can this possibly be the right thing?" The next words out of Tracy Pitcock's mouth were, "Well, now here's an interesting fact we've come across. Did you know that Mother Teresa was 57 when she went to Calcutta?" And I said, "I heard that." So I sent it in and was accepted. And because of the graciousness, this is Austin Presbyterian Seminary, and the Presbyterians are real strong on theological education, and they gave me tuition grants. I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. But God went before me. Because if God calls us to something, God will see us through and God will provide the means to get to where he wants us to go. I'd never shared with my sister that I wouldn't do the things she did. She had no idea. Till we sat in a student government retreat one weekend that she was leading, and she'd ask everybody to go around the room and just tell their call story, their story of their call to ministry. And when I told that, that's when I realized I'd never said anything to her about not doing anything she did. And she was just like, she had no idea. And when we talked later, I found out she wouldn't do the things I did either. But you know, we so often devalue ourselves. And it holds us back from being the person that God created us to be, because God made each one of us. God calls each one of us to love him, to share that love by using whatever gifts he has given us. How many of you are grateful to Marilyn for sharing the gifts that God has given her? I know people who would rather be nameless that organize and run programs for the benefit of others. There's one person sitting in here that I know it wouldn't embarrass her too much if I called her name, but is responsible for starting the mentoring program at our schools. A person from this church who would never be one to be up in the public eye in front of everyone. But her calling is to listen for God's word and act upon that. That's the calling each of us has. I don't know why God gave me whatever gifts there are that I have, but I do know that I'm called to use them in God's service. And the same is true of each of us. So please don't let the devaluation that you can feel from our society keep you from being the person that God called you to be. We heard this morning in the Gospel of Mark how Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and don't forbid them, that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." That doesn't mean who receive the kingdom of God as a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, but as a fully surrendered child of God, saying, "God, whatever it is that you want to do with me, just guide me and use me so that more people can know of your love." when we devalue ourselves, we get stuck feeling that we're worthless. That's not what God tells us. I'm sure there are many people in here, especially if they're under 40, who know the song "You Say" by Lauren Daigle. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say, I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours, and I believe. I believe. Oh, I believe. And I would pray this day that each one of us here goes forth from this place today out into the world that will try to tell us we're not enough, hearing God's voice saying, you're mine. I made you. I have gifted you. I have work for you to do. Trust me. Go forth aware that you are my child. Amen.